Hey, everybody. Mm. Man, it feels good to be back doing some of these, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's been a while, but we love it so much, and there's so much fun stuff coming up. For those who don't know, that guy's name is Clarkson.
Hi.
This guy's name is Jim. And when our powers combine, we make the one and only Film Thugs.
Barbaric.
And it's so nice to be back. So based off of that paywall conversation we were having,
mm-hmm.
The one thing that I'm most looking forward to in the next Noon movie is the scene where it's who's now? I'm paired, right? He's going to go kill all the
stuff. I will kill him. I will kill him.
First of all, I think he'll do good. I just hope he doesn't have that fucking Elvis voice anymore.
I hope he does.
I really, actually, as I was saying, I was like, I really hope he does.
Hope
That's
he does.
All I want.
I will kill him.
Quite ahead, right, baby?
We'll kill you, Paul.
Yeah.
Oh, Deep, that's a pussy name.
Why you won't be a little mouse?
Why you won't be a mouse shutter?
I'm
not even
king,
a real mouse. Fuck
baby.
You.
I'm the king, baby.
I'm gonna fuck you up. TCP, take care of business. Take care of Paul. TCP, motherfucker.
This is quite a hand rack, man.
Fuck you, man.
Fuck you.
Giddy Prime forever.
I would just love it if in a movie that far in the future, there's, you know, in Dune, in the next year of the show,
just this,
fuck you, Paul.
That'd be great, wouldn't it?
Shut your dick, Paul.
Probably a lot of that later on that we just didn't hear about.
Yeah.
Fuck you, Paul.
Fuck you, Paul.
What's that? Nothing.
Nothing. I know you said it.
I know you said it. I know what you're going to say for the next... Whatever.
Okay. Really? Then what about this?
Oh, you just said, fuck me. Fuck you. How about that?
Fuck you. Fuck.
Exactly.
Fuck your mama.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Indeed.
So, in the pantheon of the perfect filming
things,
since we were discussing Dune...
Yeah, okay.
I don't know if I would call Dune perfect, but it's one of those movies that I think falls into... almost as perfect an adaptation as you can get.
Well, yet to be determined, right?
Yes.
It's got to stick the landing.
Yeah, that is the big question. But based off how it started...
So far?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We all, as if you're out there as a Dune fan from the books, we all have to let the one that got away, we truly have to let that go. You know, Jodorowsky, is that?
Jodorowsky.
That guy. We have to let that adaption go.
Yeah.
We all wanted it to happen. We still want it to happen.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
It's not.
It has to look like a earth-toned pyramid dentist's office.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
But
apparently that's a thing.
That's,
in the future,
that's where we are there, yeah.
You look like that, and you stand apart really far.
Yeah, you have
which,
space.
Right?
Yeah.
Six feet.
Yeah.
I don't know why that is. But other than that, other than the craziness of Jodorowsky's concept of Dune.
Right.
Visually.
Right.
I think we're doing pretty good here.
I think Villeneuve nailed the scope.
Yeah, absolutely, yes.
And I think part of the reason they had people standing, you know, separated is just because we need to show how much fucking land we had.
Oh, word.
And you know what screams we got a lot of space? Two words. Motherfucking bagpipes.
That's true.
Bang! Like, whoa, all right.
Yeah.
This is something else.
Yeah.
Man. But I think... in an opening for the adaptation, it set up the stage that if they land it, I don't know if I'd call them perfect films, but I would call it a perfect adaptation.
I agree with you.
Because that is such a hard thing to stick, because what goes into it, how faithful do you... Because I think one of my favorite adaptations that I mentioned, I think it was last week, if I did it all, is L.A. Confidential.
Right.
And that does not follow the book at all.
Sure.
That's it.
Shiny.
Yeah.
Same.
Shiny, yeah. We found a different story to tell. Yeah.
And it works.
Yeah.
Do you really want the end of The Shining, the film, mom and child escape, and the top window breaks, and this black gas-like form just escapes from the top of The Shining? That's the evil. Peacing out. I guess.
Yeah.
For only hollering. He makes it, by the way, in the book. to then look at the croquet mallet in the corner and have a passing thought of I should kill her and him, but then doesn't, everyone gets away.
Yeah.
Does that make for a better ending than Jack frozen to death in a maze? Oh, we don't have a maze. We have topiary animals that come to life.
Yeah. Topiary ninja fight.
Sounds cool.
Yeah.
Visually, not nearly as cool and as terrifying as your father chasing you with an axe in the snow in a maze.
Yep.
I'm sorry, Steven. I'm sorry.
It isn't.
Maybe it's because I saw it first. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's fucking better.
Have you watched that video, The Wendy Hypothesis?
Yeah. No, you've told me about it.
And it's one where it's, again, any other director, and I'd be like, get the fuck out of here. But it's goddamn Stanley Kubrick.
Yeah.
And if there is a noticeable pattern of things appearing and disappearing, it's like, in anybody else, it wouldn't, but it's goddamn Stanley 100 takes Kubrick.
Yeah. I would like to know what The Shining would look like with, going back to our conversation behind the paywall, John Cassavetes.
Oh, fuck.
Imagine what the lobby of that place would look like.
Oh, the madness.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Gates would be unlocked.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And who's to say they aren't, right, John?
Ah.
Yeah.
Okay, so you have some input.
Yes, yes, from the fine feathered friends that listen to this show.
Outstanding.
That either pay or don't pay, or
just they're just here.
Who cares? Yeah. It's free for the most part, right?
Yeah.
Our fucking major domo of the Film Thugs and Life Masters, Owen from Australia.
Yeah.
He had a few things to add.
Okay.
He said, "Hi, I'm glad you asked, because my original post was we want to know what your favorite or most perfect films are. What do you consider perfect?" Says, "I'm glad you asked. I will agree and disagree with you that Masters of the Universe is a perfect movie." That was a joke, but I'm glad he is taking it.
He's in the right place.
It's perfect because it exists. I love Masters of the Universe. I've watched it so many times as a kid on beta, and I got it when I was older, and I watched it on DVD. Now, as a VHS collector, I watched it on VHS, and I love you for it, Owen. I love that you do that.
And I think I agree with him. It's perfect because it exists.
Oh,
because only in a perfect world can something like that fucking movie exist.
I agree.
Yeah.
That's the way it should be watched. I agree. Yep. As perfect as it is, I wouldn't change a single frame. Frank Langella is a perfect Skeletor. Dolph is a He-Man, is He-Man personified. A young Courtney Cox is great to look at. I'm saying that I would also change everything about it. No Battle Cat. Nope. No Cringer, everything, no Orko, no Prince Adam, not the cartoon, not enough competition, winner of Pig Boy. All in all, Master of the Universe is an imperfect, perfect movie. The Last Starfighter is perfect because it exists. This, I am not joking, that absolutely is a perfect movie.
Yes, it is. Yes.
You know I'm right. Of course you are.
Yes.
And Mary Catherine Stewart, adventure, romance, comedy, revenge, pirates, family-friendly fantasy, Andre the Giant, Princess Bride.
Yep. Yep.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I'm not wrong that it's perfect. You aren't wrong.
You are not.
And that, I would say that's probably the easiest one out there. The entryist version to perfect film.
Well, and what I love about it is I watched the sword fight scene, the first sword fight between Wesley and Inigo with some students recently. It's very obvious that it's a painted backdrop.
Oh, yeah.
I love that. And that is what makes it perfect. It's like, no, this is a fun play of this fun story.
Yeah.
And that's great. The fantasy is part of, you see the stitching on everything.
Yeah.
And I love that.
But that movie is, again, one of the earlier versions of pushing myself away from the table and being satisfied with what I ate.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That was one of the first times of that sensation of going, well, I'm good.
Yeah. It's like, it was such a home run that you could tell by the way it sounded off the bat. Like, that's leaving the stadium.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Just immediately, you could tell, holy crap, this thing's on point.
Yeah. He says, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the movie from 1990. This is the perfect movie with Jim Henson turtle suits and an amazing soundtrack. And turtles that do ninja things.
Well, it's the one that remembered what it was supposed to be.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely. Other perfect movies, I'm just going to give you the titles for you, Jim and Clark should know about as follows. Megaforce, saw it in the theater.
Yeah.
Miami Connection.
Saw it in the theater.
Yes, you did. Ready to Rumble.
Uh-huh.
If the WCW made a sequel, that would have won the Monday Night Wars. Jim, if you don't know, ask Oh, CCC.
I saw that movie in the theater.
There you go.
This is back when I got to see everything for free. So.
Of course. Yeah. Well, you'd have to because the movie's terrible. Yeah. Toxic Avenger Part 2 and Fateful Findings with Neil Breen. Oh, yes.
Yes,
the one I was on the show for. And Jim, I say to you, teach that film to your students. Tuna. There's so many more, but I know you guys can work with the list. Yes.
Well, and what I love is I think that what I kept repeating, it's a movie that knows what it is.
Yeah.
You know what you are, and you just embrace it. Miami Connection is fucking perfect because it is so earnestly sincere.
I agree.
At no point in time does anybody in it realize it's ridiculous or funny. These dudes are like, we are making the ass off of this movie.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with my almost blood devotion to Cobra,
yeah.
The movie.
Yes.
Again... Sly, you know, you're on Paramount Plus now, buddy.
Yeah.
And I've got originally was an idea for a sequel film for Cobra, but I'm pretty sure we can do a series called Cobra Zombie Squad.
Nice.
Right? Where the cult never went away. They just went deeper underground, and now they've infiltrated many bigger parts of the city and the police department. Mm-hmm. Nice. And possibly the mayor, played by Michael Paré.
Ooh, now you're cooking with gas.
Come on.
Yeah, but the show needs to be called Marion and the Zombie Squad.
Marion Cobretti and the Zombie Squad?
No, just Marion.
Captain Marion Cobretti by this point.
Marion. That's just Marion. The sequel. It's called Marion.
I love it. Seriously.
It has to happen.
This is a great fucking idea, Sly. And if anyone steals my Zombie Squad idea, that's why I said it on this show.
I want the world to know it's one of mine. I'm head rushing like a bastard right now off that cough. So it's like, oh, hold on.
Is it the cough or is it my incredibly badass idea?
It was both. It was both, man. I just had one of those weird cough head rushes that you're like, whoa, damn,
yes, what
the fuck just happened to me?
I can't feel my feet.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure about Ninja Turtles, but it is what it is.
But right. Cobra was originally Beverly Hills Cop.
I know.
That's the best part of it.
I love it. I love fucking Cobra. That movie is perfect in what it is.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Like a pulp midnight movie. It's the fucking crown champ of that kind of shit.
Mm-hmm.
With a guy that's obviously incredibly too talented to play that role in a pulp midnight movies type of thing.
Yeah.
Right? It's got the heaviest hitter possible in action movies playing Marion Cobretti.
Exactly.
Following a cult that apparently just kills chicks.
Yeah.
Which is the worst cult idea in the world.
Yes, that is the worst cult idea that's ever been thought of.
It's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's other tenets I'm missing, but from what I gathered, clank axes together, kill chicks.
That's pretty much it, yeah.
I have that further fleshed out as to why they do that in my treatment, but you people aren't getting that sweet content.
Yeah,
oh, no,
that.
No.
Nope, nope,
just
nope.
Trust.
Just trust.
I explain it.
It is there. Oh, man.
I could not be more serious.
I know.
Anyway.
I agree.
And yes, the last Starfighter I've thought for the longest time would be the most easily remakeable movie.
Yes.
It seemed like it would be a home run.
Uh-huh.
But then we have conversations like the paywall discussion of Ant-Man and Quadrophenia.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think, that boardroom would direct Last Starfighter,
wouldn't it? Would.
It would. Justify whatever money's going into the effects.
Well, it's because, not only that, but it would be made primarily, I would say, to sell the Last Starfighter video game.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And video game world and all of that now. So it's like,
Then you just get slowly depressed thinking about it.
Yes,
you do. It doesn't have to be the Last Starfighter.
Yeah.
How can it be just like the best Starfighter?
Starfighter.
Come see Starfighter.
The Starfighter.
The Starfighter. Yeah, yeah. Classic. The Starfighter.
Yeah.
Huh? And the Armada.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Fucking no. It's just have you seen the movie? That's Starfighter. You fight stars. Fuck it.
Yeah.
Is there lizard people in this? I love it.
Yeah. Now make sure this happens in Act 2.
Why this producer's from Red Hook, I have no fucking idea. Greg Ingram also wrote in.
Greg.
And, he said, Singing in the Rain.
Yes, I would agree.
Secondhand Lions, and controversial choice despite some crap CGI, 13th Warrior. Mm. It's one that I always enjoy. And this goes into a question
yes.
that we discussed last time. How much does your enjoyment go into
the perfection,
of a yeah. movie, right? I love Cobra. Is it a perfect movie? No. No, it's not. Technically, it's not.
Right.
There are holes. I already listed one.
Right.
Right? A pretty goddamn massive hole.
Yes.
Right?
See, like 13th Warrior, that's one that I totally see where he's coming from with it. Because there are so many things in it that are handled so brilliantly.
Mm-hmm.
Like him learning the language.
Right.
Oh, God, that was handled. That was amazingly portrayed. And the just general, the fact that they didn't try and make it more, well, they remembered what it was. It's a Michael Crichton book.
Yeah.
They didn't try to make it more narratively palpable as a, well, here's the clear cut.
Yeah.
And again, there's a lot of intellectual ambiguity in it.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's, I think, a lot of the reason people away from it is because now there's a lot of
there's a lot of gray.
Mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think of all the kind of Stranger in a Strange Land stories like that, it does a more deft job than, say, like the more sci-fi oriented ones like is it Pathfinder or Outlander?
I think Outlander.
Outlander.
Yeah.
I think it's Outlander. Caviezel's an alien and...
Yeah.
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 Same sort of ish thing.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing a new one now called 65 with Adam Driver. He's a visitor from another world that crashes on prehistoric Earth.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I have seen a preview for that.
It's
an interesting idea, yeah.
They're always interesting ideas. Right, Those ideas are always interesting.
Yeah.
They don't always work.
And that's what kills the first act is such an easy thing to do.
Right. J.J. Abrams is outside your window right now.
It's
on a ladder.
Like, yeah.
Who wants a first act, baby?
I got something for you. It is a very strict, specific thing.
Yeah.
But boy, we lose it real quick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man. And that's what kills me is think about how many cool movies that you've been pulled into completely because, wow, this sounds such a unique and interesting idea. And then the delivery is just...
yeah, not so much.
Great. You know, for every Inner Space.
Oh, Inner Space.
Yes.
Son of a bitch.
Yep. Yep.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking great.
Oh, yeah. It nails everything. It's simple. It's got the just perfect characters. But then... think about the other shit that was coming out comedy-wise at the time. You know, you take a big swing with that concept. Yeah, sometimes you do hit land of ruthless people.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
But I forget so many of the bad comedies that we went through back in those days.
That's a lot.
They're so myriad and so just over and over and over again. But then, you know, you hit something like, what were the two that I just mentioned again?
The Stranger in a Strange Land films?
No, yeah.
Oh, Pathfinder and...
Oh, no. Just now, I mentioned a couple that you went, oh, yeah.
Oh, fucking Inner Space.
Inner Space, yeah.
Yeah.
Inner Space and Ruthless People.
Ruthless People.
Ruthless People gets close to being perfect. I think Inner Space nails it entirely.
I think you're right.
Inner Space is one where the emotional side, all of it lines up how it needs to.
That movie and Dreamscape occupy the same part of my mind. Dreamscape is not a perfect movie.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
Goddamn sight.
Mm.
But it lives in the same part of my brain. I don't know why. It just always has. I think I watched those first two movies around the same time. And they just...
Same here.
For whatever reason, they have a home in my head.
But what And if you think about a movie that's as funny as Inner Space, having a cute moment like, what do you mean your heart was broken, not your toe?
Right.
A little thing like that that's just, oh my God, that's so fucking pretty and that you thought to have that in this comedy.
Exactly.
Ugh.
And then going on to, his love for, Owen's love for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
Does that color my ideas for movies like Roxanne and Fletch?
Yeah.
Does it?
Yeah.
I mean, Fletch is... only perfect in my head because I can watch it from beginning to end and then watch it again.
Right.
And I don't know why.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know what weird magic there is in that film.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know why. But
it's one of the few Chevy movies that holds on.
Boy, doesn't, yeah, though. It's just, yeah, so...
It's one of the few that I think hit his sensibility just right.
It's perfect.
Because Chevy is one of those that... hard to take if he's not in just the right thing.
Yeah, I mean, that and like... seems like old times.
Yeah.
And that's not on my list at all, but it could be, uh-huh, because it's pretty fucking perfect.
Yeah.
In what it is.
Right.
Right.
Christmas Vacation.
Christmas Vacation is fucking unfuckwithable.
Yeah.
In
like,
my world.
Like, the other two Vacation movies are fun.
Yeah, they're fun.
But they're not as...
Nah. Christmas Vacation is just...
Yeah. Yeah?
Yeah.
And it has the perfect mix, because it actually ended up having an overarching idea.
Yeah. Roxanne, for the same way in my head, because I saw it before I knew what Cyrano was as,
right,
a kid.
Yeah.
But I didn't need to.
Yeah, yeah.
For that movie to land as perfectly as it did with me.
And it's such a very Steve Martin film.
So.
It is one of the most Steve Martin things. Like, Bowfinger is probably the only more Steve Martin, yeah, movie out,
yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because he has such a distinct sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, and his early work notwithstanding, in
of
The
course.
Jerk and shit like that. But
this was much more his, if he was playing louder music in his youth, this was his move into adult contemporary, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. But it worked.
Yeah, yeah. It really does.
In a way that makes, I would argue, any other adaptation of Cyrano just not so much. Even, yeah, if they're more faithful or, uh-huh, whatever they did this last one with... Dinklage,
yeah.
I'm sure it's great. He's great. Uh-huh. I have no question that it's great.
Right.
But I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah, yeah. Where does a movie like Planes, Trains, and Automobiles land?
I would say right there as well.
Yeah.
It's one of those perfect films, yeah, that just you didn't see coming.
Yeah, and it has, and it is one where it's perfect because all of the parts.
Right.
All of them. Anyone other than John Candy.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
That,
yeah,
doesn't work. Anyone, yeah, other than Steve Martin. That does not,
no,
work.
Not
this
at
is
all.
A diner's club.
You're right. Oh. And he had a few like that. He did the same thing with Home Alone 1.
Yeah, yes. And apparently, have you heard the story about his filming on that?
I know that they had him for one day.
Yeah.
And that was
they
it.
Used him for 24 full hours. They filmed the entire day with him.
And I am pissed to no end that there isn't some special feature,
yeah,
on a physical piece of media that I can buy,
uh-huh,
that has all of it.
Yeah.
Every all of
bit
it.
Of John Candy.
You're telling me you have 24 hours of John Candy and her,
yeah,
talking.
Catherine O'Hara just going for it. Left the
guys.
Kid at a funeral parlor all day.
These are songs.
Yeah.
I need all of it.
Yeah.
I want all of that material.
Yeah.
Because you had two masters,
yes,
that are used to working with each other already, mm-hmm, just go.
Going. Yeah. Candy's whole bit about leaving.
It's like breathing.
At a funeral home. Oh my God, that was we left,
yeah,
the kid at a funeral home all day. Right in there with the body. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just perfect.
It really is. It really, really is.
And to that end, Steve Martin sort of lends that same sort of comedy umami,
yeah,
to almost everything he does,
uh-huh,
that he has a hand in,
right?
Right? Not just hired.
Uh-huh.
You know, only Murders in the Building. You feel, mm-hmm, him all over that.
Oh,
place.
Hell yeah.
But all of the right notions.
Yeah. That show is the distillation of him and Martin Sheen. Martin Sheen? What?
So.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Martin Short.
Martin Short. Yeah, because Short desperately needs a director.
Yeah.
You know? Yep. But when he has one,
mm-hmm,
perfect.
Oh, Short is one of those few performers that, like, I love what everyone basically says, like, oh, no, Marty is on.
Yeah.
Marty is ready to go.
Yeah.
Anytime, and he'll give you whatever you need at any time.
I believe
it's fucking Martin Short.
Yeah, God damn it. So, anyway, that's in my estimation. Those are,
yeah, those fall
things.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if,
yeah,
my love for these things make them perfect or they're perfect by themselves.
And I think in a lot of regards, that first one is what does it with most movies that you look at perfect. Is, mm, I think it's for a lot of people what turns that no hitter perfect.
Right.
Is it's like. Yeah, but, oh, the way that, you know, this scene always hits me and the way this part always...
Yeah.
It's like...
Nicole had one. It was like Train to Busan.
Train to Busan?
This is her idea of a perfect movie. Not that's her most perfect movie.
Right.
But
uh-huh.
Fucking Train to Busan is a perfect movie.
Nice.
Have you seen it?
No, I have not. I need to.
I'm not, yeah, lying to you.
Okay.
And I'm not being hyperbolic. That is... It's one of those movies that I think we talked about last time we were talking about Shaun of the Dead.
Uh-huh.
That as you're watching it... You know, it's a zombie movie.
Uh-huh.
Whatever. But as you're watching, you realize, okay, well, that's a three-pointer. That's a three-pointer. That's another three-pointer. Okay. three-pointer, 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 three-pointer. Okay, where it's not even going to go up to. Okay. Three-pointer, 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 three-pointer. Middle of the court, middle of the court, middle of the court.
Okay.
And then at the end, other end of the fucking court.
Shit, nice. I'll check that out.
The movie is fucking perfect. And the fact that it's coming out in an American remake saddens me in a way that when I hear horror nerds talk about remakes, like in the same sort of way, like, oh God, calm down. Now I'm telling myself to calm down.
Yeah.
Because, oh.
Train to Cincinnati.
I think it's called Last Train to New York. Or
oh, to Cincinnati?
That'd be something.
That would be something.
Go there and kill John Moxley. With kindness.
My, see, what's weird, you're talking about the things like that. What comes to my mind, and this is like Bob's Burgers.
Mm, yes.
Because that, I don't know if there's a better comfort show out there, because it's uncomplicated.
Yeah.
You can watch any episode from any point, anywhere, without any need to adjust. It is episodic. It's, you can just.
Yeah, I think that explains Fletch for me now. It's more of like chicken and dumplings.
Yeah. Ah, this is uncomplicated. I enjoy it. It's.
Yes. It's like Beverly Hills Cop.
Yeah. Yeah.
Same sort of like. Yeah.
Have you seen Confessed Fletch? Stop thinking,
Fletch. Axel, it makes my dick itch. What?
Have you seen Confessed Fletch yet?
No, I haven't.
It's one I'm curious, but.
Mark has. He thought it was great.
Well, all right.
He's a big fan of the books, I think, as well.
Okay, cool, cool.
I'm sure it's great. I'm sure it's good. It's just one of those things that when I get around to it, I'll get around to it. But
That's how I am with Fletch everything. Is such
a part of my brain.
Yeah.
It's hard to.
Hard to really get hard. Into a
it's
new
just hard.
One.
Yeah. It's hard. It's in a Joel Hodgson part of my head.
Yeah. Like Fletch 2, I remember being interesting, but not great. It was like,
it's got some really funny parts.
Yeah, yeah.
It really does.
But by and large, it definitely felt like, okay, we could get it.
Yeah.
But that's fine.
That's fine.
There's nothing wrong with that.
So, to not veer off too much into our emotions about how we feel about movies, because I've got a list here.
Yeah.
I've talked about fucking four of them, five of them.
Right.
In discussion, but are probably considered objectively perfect. So let's get this fucker out of the way. Back to the Future.
Yeah.
It's considered a perfect script, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
By all the people that are smart enough to know these things.
Mm-hmm.
As I shrug my shoulders and raise my hands and I don't know. I don't know.
It does. Is it? Structurally, it's pretty dead on.
It's pretty fucking. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's so perfect for me that the existence of sequels always sort of bugged me.
Yeah. The sequels aren't bad, but they definitely feel a little more tacked on than I think they want them to.
I can only speak to the second one, of course, because I've never seen
it. At some point, we will McRib and watch three, but.
Of course.
It gets so much into the insanity of time travel.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't know. Right. I think Chad mentioned, hold on, Chad, I've got you here. Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
Right, yeah.
Is that a more perfect film than Raiders?
There is only one issue that I have with Raiders. And it's a weird one because it sounds such a, Indy does nothing of value in that film.
Okay. Explain.
If Indiana Jones was not there, how would the events have turned out differently?
Oh, it's true. They would have opened the Ark and that's their ass.
Yeah. Yeah. They would have gotten the thing from, what's her name?
Oh, fuck. So much for that movie.
Yeah.
God damn it.
That is the one thing that hits people on it where it's like, fuck, Indy doesn't really need to be there, does he?
Oh, fuck it. All right, well, I guess it is Last Crusade.
Yeah.
Because damn sure not Temple.
Yeah, oh, God, no. Temple of Doom felt.
I like it. I like it a lot, actually. I'm not one of the haters of Temple of Doom by any stretch. Maybe it helps to have an Indian best friend when you're a kid.
Right.
He laughed your asses off, and he would explain things to me, and it was great, and he'd do the voice, and I would ask him to do the voice out of nowhere, like months after it. Just do it for me, and he'd be like, bring back to us. It was fucking great.
Yeah.
But no, it is not perfect.
It's not.
Last Crusade may have been. And
Dial of Destiny might be. I'm really impressed that they're going all in with the soap product placement.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
And if they don't, this country is over.
It's a terrible name otherwise. Unless they are being paid to call it that, it's a terrible name.
Again, the Lost City of Atlantis exists in books.
Yeah.
I mean, comic books, I mean.
Yeah.
They told that story. You could do it again. Here's a storyboard.
Yeah. But we're not going to do that.
Of Destiny.
Yeah, we're gonna dial it up.
Hey, it could have been Indiana Jones and the Attack of the Saucer Men.
Yeah, from Mars. Yeah, we live in a weird timeline. A really weird timeline.
Yeah. So I guess Crusade is definitely one of my favorite movie experiences.
Yes. Oh yeah.
Seeing it with my dad. I mean, perfect.
Yeah. Everybody our age saw it with their dad. That's what I love about it. Well, it's an interesting
some people that are 10 years older than us didn't.
Ah, that's true. Yeah.
Sorry.
Never ate a pizza in mom and dad's room, ever.
Didn't eat in mom and dad's room? I had a party pizza there. I watched Superman 2. What? It's a great memory. Yeah. I can't think of Superman 2 without thinking about that party pizza in mom and dad's room. I'm not kidding.
Oh, that's great.
Chad also mentions No Country for Old Men.
Okay.
See?
The Coen of viewer, because we talked about Coens last time, and they have a run.
Damn it. These are not even beer cans.
God, how bold are we? But yeah, the Coens. It's weird. No Country for Old Men is sort of like an odd turning point for me in a lot of way for them.
Yeah. I thought that was interesting because I know this about you in this film.
Yeah. What's your stance on it?
I like it quite a bit.
Yes.
And I'm actually a fan of the end.
Right.
In the same way that I'm a fan of like a song ending with a, going to a F sharp rather than a
unresolved melody.
Yeah. Than just a fade. Fucking hate a fade out.
Yeah.
I always have. I always will.
Yeah.
And I'm a fan of it for that, for holding back that one thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And the story is quite beautiful.
Yeah.
The little story he tells. Mm-hmm. I don't know why it reminds me of my dad.
Right.
But it does.
Yeah.
And I can't separate those things.
Yeah.
But I can see how that is not how you want that film to end.
Yeah.
And what happens in the movie is just sort of a slice of bad shit happening.
Yeah. It's a 40 minute section.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it is. It has an odd open and odd close. And I don't dislike it.
No.
I don't dislike it. It's just one that I was looking at like, I don't know.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It doesn't. These aren't even the same films, but whatever reason they've got it in my head. Something that can have the sort of same tone and hopelessness of just how we are as human beings on this in this thresher. That the same way that I've never heard anyone that I know think this movie is not perfect, and it's certainly one of my favorite films fucking ever. Because when it came out in physical media, I watched it over and over and over again. Right. There Will Be Blood.
Yeah, yeah. Those two are always linked because. Partly because I think that you should swap the titles.
No shit.
I think if you swap the titles between those two movies, they both make a hell of a lot more sense.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah, yeah.
But
here
There Will Be Blood is just...
There Will Be, again, for what it is. It is a,
is so fucking good.
Mm-hmm.
The more you watch it, the better it gets. It has that McKellen Beth Kavorka with me.
Yeah.
That I keep, maybe it's just because I like it so much.
Yeah.
Probably so.
Probably,
but that, because I love it so much, I just keep finding more things in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's just me. But it's fucking great.
It is just one where the way things land.
Oh.
So nice. The way the characters developed, the way,
it ends the way I wanted it to end.
Uh-huh.
I could say, that's just you being a dick because you don't like that guy. Maybe.
Maybe. But
He dead.
Yeah.
The guy from Shaun of the Dead got eaten.
Got it.
The movie listened to me. Zod's neck got broken. The end.
The end. Well, like an odd one with that. Like, have you seen Love and Mercy?
No.
It's about Brian Wilson, and it has Paul Dano playing a young Brian Wilson and John Cusack playing an older Brian Wilson.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
It's really, really fucking good because it does. It goes mostly the past stuff is him coming off of the commercial failure of Pet Sounds and recording the craziness that went into recording Good Vibrations. Mm-hmm. Mm. And in the future, and in the present day, more present day, it's discovering about his exploitive psychiatrist who is wormed his way into being his sole heir type shit. So it's like,
shit.
Oh, damn. Oh,
that sounds great.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's a really interesting movie.
Yeah. I like it. Yeah. And, you know, No Country for Old Men, these things, there will be blood, darker endings.
Right.
There are darker ones out there.
Oh, yeah.
Watched one this past week. It's not apropos to perfect. It's not a perfect movie.
No.
But it's called Speak No Evil.
Uh-huh.
It's a foreign picture.
Uh-huh.
That's
a good one.
That's a dark ride, brother.
Well, and what I like now is how...
And the balls to just say... And more often than not, it takes foreign films to say, no.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
no,
yeah.
No. He is the mirror, right?
Yep.
Warren Herzog is sat up.
Well, it's part of it, too, with those and being able to do the darkness from films that aren't from America is that we have so fully commoditized.
Yeah.
And we have so fully made it. If it's not making a bunch of money, then it's nothing.
Yes.
And that just...
It's really obnoxious.
It is. It is.
Because I'm spending a lot of time watching more movies and concentrating on things that are outside of that mega bubble.
Yeah.
Even if it's shit that is...
Shit from a butt?
Man, it is not a feel-good film.
Oh, yeah. The hand... Ugh.
And there are a few out there. Funny Games.
Oh, well, fuck. Grave of Fireflies.
Oh, yeah.
Holy
yeah.
shit. Grave Jesus. Of Fireflies and Dear Zachary.
Ooh, oh, oh!
You want to talk about the uno dos, the little 1-2 punch right there.
Dear Jesus, Zachary.
Dear Zachary.
Two grown men crying in their beer.
Yeah. Yeah. It's that's one because so much of that was the power of the way it was edited.
Yeah.
Because the way it was put together compressed so much information, made the emotion of all of it so much bigger because they were able to include so many people. It was just like, damn.
Yeah. And, more objective, perfect films. Which would you say is Kurosawa's perfect movie? I have three, but I couldn't tell you. I think I have a notion as to which one is probably
Akira.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm betting you had Akira, Seven Samurai, and of those, would you go with High and Low, or would you go with Yojimbo?
I have Rashomon.
Rashomon. Ah, nice, nice. Akira, I think 100% hits this list. Because
it may be it.
Yeah, yeah.
Even though, I mean, Seven Samurai is, you know, that's a list. It's all on everyone's perfect list. Yeah. And
Seven Samurai and Rashomon, the fact that they both birthed, like, they're diehard-esque. They birthed genres.
Yeah, correct.
As did Yojimbo.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, Jesus.
But Akira.
Akira.
It sticks with me.
It really does.
In a way that the others, but they do too, but not for whatever reason.
I think Akira, because emotion is at the center of it.
Fuck it. It's.
Yeah. Is that feeling right at the center? Like High and Low, I love because of how beautifully it's segmented into different films.
Mm-hmm.
But with Akira, it's the fact that everything brings you back. I mean, how bold a choice is it to have the funeral hit at the midpoint?
Yeah.
Like, no, we're not hiding that he... No, no, no.
Here you go.
It's half the movie.
Fuck.
And just what I... And it's because they capture those ideas. Like, even though I do not know what a Japanese funeral is like,
right.
I have been there as the night is worn on and...
Mm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Of course.
The formality of the event breaks down into just the folks that are still there and still really connected to everything. And that...
And if you're Irish,
yeah.
The drinking of it all.
Yeah.
The small hours drinking at a wake can be glorious and can be just
awful.
And all those things all at once. Since we're on the Masters, let's go ahead and get this, I don't want to say argument, but discussion. We've gone over Kurosawa. What is the perfect Hitchcock movie?
Ooh, okay, perfect Hitchcock movie. I think we go to that run that he had in the middle where you're looking at...
Just say Marnie.
Yeah. it's the Psycho, Rear Window, North by Northwest.
Absolutely.
Arena right there.
Yeah.
And there are others in that. Those three, to me, if you want an understanding of Hitchcock, those are the three movies that I think distill it.
Yeah.
I think North by kind of hits the grander themes of everything with the femme fatale and the danger, and fucking Vertigo needs to be in this conversation too.
Yeah. That's on a lot of those lists. Yeah. Vertigo seems to kind of outweigh on a lot of these lists, and all I keep thinking about is in my conception Hitchcock's perfect film. It's more than one, but the most perfect in my estimation is Rear Window.
I was sitting there saying it's fucking Rear Window. It's because I was going in that same direction, because he does it in a room. Does it in a fucking room.
Of all of Hitchcock's films, that's the one that sticks with me the most. That's not a criteria that has to make a perfect film.
Right.
By any means. But
it does. But it's there.
It sticks.
But it's there.
And it's always there.
Yeah.
In a way that only really good art does.
Right.
You know? And it's just... If someone says, I don't know what Hitchcock is.
Yeah.
Show me a movie.
Yeah.
I would show them Rear Window.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
First.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. I think you're right. It is such a clear distillation of everything. The single location, the side characters, the fact that you have got goddamn Jimmy Stewart and Grace Kelly destroying it.
Mm-hmm.
Thelma Ritter is standing behind him, stealing every frame of every scene that she is in.
Yeah.
I think a lot of the weird little side things worked for it, like building the working apartments and just those people just living in them, because they felt lived in. They felt like these are people going through their routines. And
if that had fallen just even one side of inauthentic, it would break the spell.
Yep.
Because
you
feel like you're looking in on these
watching people. The dancer go around and like opening and closing things with their feet, like that you spent time in there to know the exact moves. You've got that charted.
The craftsmanship going in, and I hate that word, and I hate craft.
Right.
But I don't know how else to say it.
Right.
Workmanship, the whatever. The attention to detail
is,
you get a point to a film where it sort of gets overwhelming.
Right.
Like Ikiru also.
Yeah.
Like there are shots that go in that someone kicks the wall down and it's just like, cinema! And leaves.
Yes.
Right?
Uh-huh.
Same thing going on with Rear Window.
Yeah.
This is what Marty Scorsese means when he goes to see fucking Shazam, Wrath of the Whatevers, or X-Men 35, and goes, this is not cinema.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, what I love in North By is, first off, it has a lighter feel.
Yes.
Than Vertigo. Vertigo, I like, but I feel like it's a little overrated.
Yes.
I enjoy it, but it feels like it's got a little too much. North By has a lighter feel, but also I think it is the perfect textbook in a lot of ways, because it has the perfect MacGuffin, government secrets.
Right. Right. Okay.
What the fuck?
Fill in blank.
Yeah. It has the most perfect backstory expository dump ever. Mm. Are you suggesting that our fake agent who we have built,
Exactly.
Yet it works. It has the moment of Thornhill choosing to be the hero that works so perfect. There are so many little moments that are the quintessence of Hitchcock.
Yeah.
But Rear Window.
I can't get past it.
Fucking Rear Window, man.
I just can't get past it.
And I can't go with Psycho, because even though the build is important, the beginning of it is so...
It's just a lot.
I like it. It's a lot. North By and Rear Window, I get into so immediately.
Yeah.
North By specifically because of the simplicity of what ruins his life.
Yeah.
It like...
That's it.
Motherfucker raised his hand at the wrong moment.
Yeah.
And it turned everything in his life upside down.
Yeah.
You gotta love that.
I do.
You got to love that.
I absolutely do.
Oh, man.
I absolutely love. And, okay, we got Scorsese here. What's his?
Oof. Okay. So in this, we're looking at the main suspects would be Raging Bull, mm-hmm. Taxi Driver, mm-hmm. Goodfellas.
Yeah, yeah.
I think would be the top ones on that. For me, I know that the otsy-fotsiness, it's Raging Bull.
Sure.
I know the gritty cinema historian, it's Taxi Driver.
Yeah.
Good story that I want to watch again, it's Goodfellas.
Goodfellas. All day. It's one of those things that can come on any time. I'm going to watch it.
I love what Richard Linklater said. Is you get this in an interview, he's like, you have this argument between Goodfellas and Raging Bull, but what you get when you go back and watch Goodfellas is it is such a masterpiece.
Yes.
All the way through. And I think it's so much more unexpected.
Yeah.
Because Raging Bull is a slower art movie.
Yes.
And it's unquestionably an art film, and it's a, you know, meditative and all. Goodfellas is such a, holy shit. I mean, there's a reason that Wolf of Wall Street just changed the plot points and kept the structure the same.
Yes.
Because those two movies have the same goddamn plot structure.
Yeah.
But going with just what I think felt closest, the most authentic. Seriously, I'm going to say a weird one here. If Scorsese had directed A Bronx Tale, that would be the perfect Scorsese movie.
Probably so.
But
he didn't.
He didn't.
No.
Goodfellas is perfect. And I honestly, I put goddamn what I just mentioned, Bronx Tale, as a perfect fucking movie.
Yeah.
I think Goodfellas lends, I think both of them walk such interesting close lines mm-hmm. to one another in thematics and story and what they're about. And Goodfellas is a Bronx Tale if he didn't have his dad.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
I just love that, as you say, Goodfellas sort of, you're surprised by this. You're surprised that Scorsese would just see that much in Ray Liotta, which is undoubtedly was always there.
Yep.
And we can all afterwards say, oh, yeah, we knew all along. But Ray Liotta could do this.
Yeah.
I didn't fucking know Ray Liotta could do that.
Nope. But goddamn, did he ever.
Oh. But, we're in, you know, rest in peace. I can't see any cracks.
How many movies can hand off the narrator?
Exactly.
When he pistol whips that dude and gives her the gun and all of a sudden Karen's like, oh my God.
It's great.
This is so
I gotta admit it. Great. It turned me on. Right.
They left out Polly sleeping with her.
Yeah, well.
But, you know, whatever. and how many movies have changed the way you cook?
right.
How many movies have changed the way you cook?
That fucking bit,
because how many times now are you like, well, I'll shave a little garlic so it will liquefy. Yes.
In all.
Everybody does. Anyone who's seen that movie fucking does.
You've tried it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I know. It doesn't make a dick's bit of difference. No. Just fucking cut it finer.
Yeah. But.
But I did try it once.
You did try it.
I didn't use a razor blade. I just used my really fucking sharp knife.
Super sharp knife. Because, hey, if Pauly Sorvino and Marty Scorsese says it's the way to do it.
And just in case I'm ever, you know, in the room with any of the principals and they say, you ever try that? I won't have to lie to them.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes, so, I have.
And so by that measure at all, Goodfellas is the one that made for Scorsese. I love a lot of what Scorsese does.
Oh, hell yeah. Scorsese's.
I love Gangs in New York, and it's. Hello.
Well,
flawed as fuck.
There we go.
You know, but
Color of Money.
Yeah. Oh,
how in the fuck did he pull that one off?
I don't know.
But
Mean Streets is sort of like Goodfellas as a white belt, and he comes with Goodfellas, and I'm fucking 8 years deep on black.
Well, and what I love about Mean Streets is how just on the fucking gritty low, like that low level, this is where I am with budget and everything, then that's what we're doing.
And much closer to the truth.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know,
yeah. Did we discuss Godfather 1 and 2?
We did not, but it's obviously on my list.
Yes. So
I don't know a way around that.
I don't know a way around either one of them.
No.
Yeah.
No.
And add on to that, I don't even know a way around the 8-hour Godfather fucking cut. Yeah.
That happened to us 2 Christmases ago.
Mm-hmm.
Or Thanksgiving. I think it was Christmas.
Yeah.
When we have the, when we go to Nicole's mom's house for the holidays, it's usually just 3 or 4 of us, pajamas and a lot of day drinking.
Yeah.
Godfather 1 came on.
Uh-huh.
And then Godfather 2. And then Godfather 3. We watched all of them.
Oh.
All of them.
3 really sticks out.
Oh, yeah, of course. Of course it does.
3 just.
But we had to finish it all.
Yeah.
But 1 and 2.
It's like running into Rocky 5.
Yeah.
Ooh. Just, oh.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it really is. But 1 and 2 are just so
authentic.
This is fucking
just so on point. So there was so much love into that story. Yeah. Like, so much actual care to get that balance right, because that is a fucking difficult story to balance.
Absolutely.
So there are so many bits.
Yeah.
That's why I love that idea of the different adaptations of the same source. What are you going to choose? What are you going to focus on? What's going to be different? Oh, man.
So many things where you're, once you become aware of, not that I know dick about movie making, but right. I have some working knowledge of how certain things can make moments bigger.
Right.
They're just, it's a masterclass in that.
It really is.
The moments are already powerful by themselves. If everything's just still.
Uh-huh. Oh.
But what you do is just slowly tighten it on Michael sitting in the chair making a plan.
Mm-hmm. And it's that little bit of movement. Little things like that make all the goddamn difference.
Damn. Yeah. That's one of those things, if you don't get excited about, it's sort of your measurement of whether or not you're a big movie nerd or not.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things that I mentioned every time we watch it.
Yeah. Yeah.
If I watch it by myself.
Yep.
I bring it up to the fucking air because it is, I don't know. It's just, it's really great.
Yeah. It really,
it's really great. And it's not overrated when people put it on their list. It never sounds inauthentic when people put it on a list. One thing that does, and I've seen it on a few, not a lot, but I have seen Silence of the Lambs on that list.
No, fuck yeah.
And I don't think it's a perfect film.
How to Get the Pen.
Yep.
Yeah. There are a few little things on that. There are others that I'm like, I get that people love, and they put them on, like, Gone with the Wind.
Yeah, I guess.
Gone with my interest. I've not fucking care about that movie since I was a kid.
But Gone with the Wind doesn't have another film based on the same story that crushes it like Manhunter crushes Silence of the Lambs.
It really doesn't. Like, and that's what kills it is
Manhunter does.
Manhunter absolutely does.
Deal with that.
For, among other things, Bill Peterson.
Deal with it. I'm sorry.
Fucking yeah.
Michael Mann
and Bill Peterson.
Bill Peterson together. It's, I mean,
this was back in Michael Mann's just untouchable phase.
To Live and Die in L.A.
Oh, hell yeah!
Friedkin to Live and Die in L.A. Yeah. Another Peterson thing that is just
the moment when he drives onto the freeway.
Yeah, dude.
Oh, yes. Oh my God.
Yeah.
What the fuck was that, buddy?
And
I do anything that takes that psychology and looks at, like, what is the difference between the good and the bad guys?
Exactly. That's the one of the first ones that were like, this is two different gangs.
Yeah. And then Heat lands and he's like, fuck.
Oh.
Yeah. Yep.
That's another one. I see, maybe they're there, but I see no cracks in Heat.
Nope.
And Michael Mann made damn sure that weren't he.
The most that anyone could complain is, and this is something that I said about it, the most people could complain is it's a little too long, but that's only because they are giving you every story, beginning, middle, end.
Yeah, yeah.
Dennis fucking Haysbert.
Yeah, no shit.
The fact that we got, why are we seeing this guy go to work flipping burgers?
Mm-hmm.
Why was, what the hell?
Yeah.
What the fuck? And then boom. Oh, okay.
That's why.
Oh my God. And they set it up to make him desperate and to make you care.
Yep. And it works like Cracker Jack.
So fucking good.
It's so good.
Oh, that was a movie. I remember that was a summer that Heat and El Mariachi and Desperado came out.
Oh, fuck. What a time to be alive.
I went to the theater several weeks in a row and I was like, yeah, I want I would like a ticket to the first and second screening of Heat. I watched Heat back to back in the theater.
Nice, nice.
It was incredible. That back when you had the energy to do that shit.
Of course,
you were fucking 19 years old and sitting 5 hours in a theater to watch a movie twice was okay.
It's fine. Totally normal behavior.
Yeah, but it landed so beautifully. Now, actually, El Mariachi brings me to mind of The Killer. John Woo. When it talked to a John Woo perfect movie, is there anything other than The Killer on that list? Maybe Hard Boiled?
I was about to say, maybe Hard Boiled.
Yeah. Ugh. Because Hard Boiled does fucking land it. Yep. Also, some of it depends which version. Are we talking about the Dumbo and Mickey Mouse? Or are we talking about the shithead and idiot? Yeah. Because there are multiples. See, it gets weird when you get into that. He has a couple that fall into that. The Killer is a perfect movie.
I agree.
Hard Boiled... The only reason I lean against Hard Boiled is it is so excessive, but that's part of what makes it perfect is the level of excessiveness with it.
Yeah, that's kind of why my heart's saying Hard Boiled. It's a stupid. It's not a hard question. What's wrong with you, dummy?
It's fucking perfect. Yeah.
So brain didn't know dick. Yeah. Trust me.
Then we watch Bullet in the Head. Just got so many that again the emotion and moment of the time is it, isn't it?
Right.
So good.
I know that. Of all films made by a child rapist, Rosemary's Baby is the most perfect one.
Yeah, yeah, it is. It is. You're not wrong.
It's by far.
Yeah.
I don't know by far.
Just but from the knowledge we have, it's...
No.
Yeah.
Rosemary's Baby.
Yeah. It's a good movie, man.
It's great. It's fucking great. And it really... If nothing else, makes you realize just how big some apartments in New York are.
Yeah. Yeah. Ooh, how would we put Memento? Because that, for a story that is that fucking experimental to work as well as it does.
Well, it was definitely Nolan's kick down the door moment.
Yeah. It was. I definitely think I would put it as a not a perfect, but a no hitter. Just because
I would go no hitter.
But there's something that's like to me, the Prestige moves into perfect.
I agree.
But man, that's a.
It hit perfect when David Bowie walked through the fucking lights.
Yep. Yep.
Like,
and they were lucky the camera was rolling.
Exactly. That's just what he was doing that day.
What he was doing that day. Yeah, it was his mood.
Yeah. Yeah.
That it's weird when you find them and they do land that well.
Yeah.
But man.
Chinatown's probably better than Rosemary's Baby.
Oh, yeah.
It is better than Rosemary's Baby.
It is. Script wise, there's a reason that is a fucking taught in film school. Yeah, no see guy. It is a.
Okay, fine.
Yeah. It's a structurally unbelievable piece of writing.
Really something the fuck else.
Yeah.
I saw that way too young.
Yeah, same here.
I just kept watching it. I grew up, and the more I learned about the world, the more Chinatown made sense.
It's funny because there is that time when you're a kid, and all you know is that it wasn't good or bad. It was a movie.
Right, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Watching a movie. And so the number that you hear of, like, oh, this movie is so great, you're like, well, then, I must watch this movie that is so great. And then it goes on, and you're like.
Yeah, it's one of those, it falls to the same list of Westerns you hear growing up in my house.
Yeah.
You got to watch this. This is the best thing you've ever seen. I mean, the longest time as a kid, before seeing them, I was convinced that I absolutely had to see Outlaw Josey Wales, or I wouldn't mature as a man.
When I lived with my dad, I would still think The Quiet Man is the greatest fight scene in the history of film.
You're just like, it's drilled into your fucking head.
Yeah.
I mean, I had to grow up to realize, yes, Outlaw Josey Wales is very good.
It's a good movie.
Good, Bad, and the Ugly is very good, obviously.
Yeah.
My favorite is still, God damn it.
Great Silence?
No.
No.
High Plains Drifter.
High Plains,
those.
Of that ilk, yes.
Because it's perfect.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of that kind of movie.
Mm-hmm.
Because he comes back for revenge.
Yeah. He does
He gets the town to do it for him.
Yep.
He takes revenge on the town. paints it red,
yep.
names it hell. Fuck off. It's great. Is he a ghost? I don't know.
What I love about it is it not just gets him back, paints it red, calls it hell. That's such a bitchy, catty little move.
He's like, just all in his feelings about this.
Yeah, he really is.
But it's great. Talk about good guy, bad guy. You tell me.
Yeah.
Because the first thing he does is rape
me?
A woman.
Yeah. Why don't you tell me?
Why don't you tell me?
Oh, yeah. It's
all these people, your brothers and sisters. They are brothers and sisters of God. Well, you won't mind if they stay with you then. He's.
Yep.
Yeah.
But that, like, it, again, perfection, there are so many things where the type of movie, how well it delivers off of it, how you connect with it. And there are honestly times where there's shit you see in a movie that someone else doesn't that's like, oh yeah, that's what makes this so goddamn good.
Yeah, it's like Friends of Eddie Coyle. Is it a perfect movie to anyone else out there? Probably not.
Mm.
And I'll listen to your arguments that say it's not perfect. But for me, I'm going to go with perfect that because I don't doubt anyone here.
Nope.
And I know full well that they're all actors.
Mm-hmm.
Mitchum's not from this place.
Nope.
Very well does not drink beer in those little glasses.
No, he does not.
He would never wear clothes like that if he didn't have to.
Nope.
The same way I know he didn't write any, he wrote every line in Scrooged.
Yep.
I believe it. In fact, I think he actually took over a cable company, a network rather. To play that role in Scrooged.
Yep.
I think he actually was doing some union shit in Massachusetts.
He just became.
Became Eddie Coyle.
It's really
and to a lot
impressive.
Of people over there, he's just Eddie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Eddie died. You know, he was an actor. Shit, Fuck off.
Eddie wouldn't act that.
He was an actor. No. He was in 315 with us.
Yeah.
The pipe fitters.
I see that. I see it. I totally see it. Really? But what I love, too, is with the little things, like on a recent episode of Abbott Elementary, they went to a like convention of professional development, and one of them was like, oh, there's like a thing about the future of individual education plans. I'm so excited. And I almost fell out of my chair laughing. Absolutely nobody else gets that. I was like, there has never been a teacher who's like, oh, wow, a meeting over new regulations on IEPs? Wow. It's like, okay, cool. This is something I really have to be focused on. Oh, fuck. Okay. What is it? Like, that's genuine. It's so funny seeing that. And there are, every once in a while, something in a movie that will elevate it because you're like,
oh, yeah.
What the fuck did you just do?
Absolutely.
No.
Absolutely. I know we referenced Big Night in the previous episode, but it's one of those things, like the fucking opening scene with the risotto.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We've all been there.
I mean, come on.
Have you tasted it? It doesn't look the way I... Have you tasted it? I was looking for big chunks.
A big chunk. How do you say it? Hot dog?
Hope and I quote that all the damn time.
Of course. It's fucking magic. Yeah, and again, it's not a perfect movie.
No.
It's one of my perfect movies.
It's so close. And it's one where it's such a unique experience.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So we could literally have 8 episodes talking about really good movies. There's a lot out there.
Yeah, but there's a lot.
For perfect, we've covered all. I mean, we talked about Big Trouble in Little China and The Thing, right? Carpenter?
Right. Oh, yeah.
Or did we need to finish Carpenter off with that?
Well, no, we did discuss both of those. Yeah.
Well,
so what should we talk about next time?
I think next time we're most likely going to get into the documentary?
Documentary.
From the library? Documentary.
Yes.
Hail Satan.
Okay.
About the Temple of Satan.
All right. Is that... And that
Satanic Temple, pardon me.
Okay, and that is available where?
One's on Hulu or Amazon.
Okay, cool. If it's on one of those, I got it. Hail Satan. Have to pull that shit.
Directed by Penny Lane, I believe.
Okay. I don't know who Penny Lane is.
I don't either. I just read an article about it earlier.
It's just one of those where it's like, that sounds like a porn star's name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know.
But we want to be fair and balanced here, so instead of just kicking,
then we're gonna
Protestant Christianity in the dick every week.
We're going to look at this. All right. Hail Satan. I'll check where it is downstairs. Oh. Yeah. Oh, man.
So there's that.
Have you seen the bit where Waters...
Oh, thank you.
Where Jesse Waters tries to, like, call out the guy from the Satanic Temple about an after-school program? It's awesome, because he's just like, there's no religious anything, and it's just an opportunity for kids to study, and, like... well, what about this? No. We're not going to force kids to do this or that. We're not
going
to.
Come
gonna...
on.
Fucking beautiful.
What the fuck?
Again,
you didn't get a chance. You've got that doofus.
Yeah.
And Jesse Waters has to be A, Jesse Waters.
Yeah.
B, carry the fucking water for whatever bullshit about Satan.
Yeah.
When you could just go, you're kind of a pussy, aren't you?
Yeah. Aren't y'all a bunch of nerds and bitches, basically?
Wait a minute. You don't want to be liked?
I don't think that's the point of this. Actually, it was a group that was doing a response to a Christian group meeting after school. So, like, hey, churches are allowed to,
course,
we should be
course,
able to come.
Of course.
And,
I agree.
I love that shit. I love that shit.
Fucking dumb shit. Of course, he didn't read anything about it. He just. Jesse Waters.
Yep. Yep.
He's.
You want to talk about a punchable face?
God damn right. Ugh.
I'm saying it's going to be a tsunami.
Tsunami.
Well, it wasn't. We still won. I'm still counting this as an unqualified victory. It's not what he sounds like, but that's now my Jesse Waters impression.
Exist. We must.
We must.
And we will much about that be committed.
Commitment, baby. Bye-bye.